We've got some more folks that are on the way, and they're making sure their beans don't burn today. So homecoming is always a hectic day, but a great day. So we appreciate you being here. We've got several visitors today, and we want to thank you for being here in the service. I think I saw it on the Facebook, something like the 47th homecoming of Faith Baptist Church. So that's a blessing to be able to be doing anything for 47 years, isn't it? All right, 308 in your red book. 308, higher ground. 308. And we'll stand and sing the first, second, and last verses. 308. Congregation, any prayer request, outspoken prayer request tonight, this morning rather. Anybody? Yes, ma'am. Sister Faye's having surgery on her knee Tuesday morning, 7:30, 8:30, which one is it? 7:30. All right, so pray. Let's be sure and pray for her. That's been giving her a major, major fit. So let's pray that God will give blessing and victory there. Who else in the congregation? Yes, ma'am.
Pray for our niece. She's having problems with her eyes and medication.
Okay. All right. Let's be sure to remember that need, that request in prayer.
Remember my friend Nancy. She'll find out tomorrow if she has cancer tomorrow.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Let's pray for those. Anybody in the choir?
Pray for my cousin's granddaughter. She came through her back surgery pretty good, but she's in recovery now for 6 weeks. So pray for Heather Hunter and pray for Bethany. She's out of town with 68 girls on a college tour. They'll be coming back tomorrow, so pray for safety for them. And her surgery is October 18th.
All right. Anybody else? Unspoken request, raised hand. God knows all about it. Let's pray for our homecoming day. Let's pray for Sister Andrews. She's here. We're so glad to have her in the service today. And let's pray that God will bless and anoint her, and we'll have a great day with the preaching and from the message and song. All right, Brother Bill, why don't you lead us in prayer? Amen. You may be seated. Pray for the choir as they sing this morning.
Thank you.
singing today. Let's turn to hymn number 198 in our red book. 198, There's Power in the Blood. This is going to be our fellowship time. We'll sing the first and the second, and then we'll fellowship and come back on the last. 198 as we stand and sing, Power in the Blood. Everyone, and make sure our visitors get a good handshake.
I can't do that. Love you, preacher.
Let's just say greet one another with a holy kiss.
Yeah, well, she's the only one who can do that. Ready?
Would you do service for Jesus, your King?
You know, there must be a You know, Paul, I think, was a southerner. Because, you know, he always talked about you all. So I think he was really a southerner. And then some of these hymn writers are southerners, because you notice how you sing that thing, it's power. It doesn't say power. The E is omitted in the chorus. It's power. So I don't know. I'd like to find out if this was Arkansas or where this was written, but I just always think those things are kind of interesting. All right. Now, we're going to need some help this morning. I sure hope that we can get JoJo and Caleb to help us, because we got a lot of people here today that I bet would like to help us with the jug offering. Now, don't get scared when I use that word jug, okay? We're not up in Rocky Mount, okay? All right. I used to teach up Rocky Mount. You know, Rocky Mount's the moonshine capital of Virginia, at least. And so, we got a jug offering, and this goes to our building fund. So our young people usually help us, and I hope they're able to help us today. Because we got a good amount of people here today. Okay. So can our young men come help us today? Come on. You got an offering. You hold it up. Thank you for giving. Thank you for sharing today. We thank the Lord for the good revival meeting that we had. And we thank God for this good, beautiful homecoming day. And we appreciate the goodness of the Lord. Thank you for coming. And in just a few moments, we're going to let Miss Penny, she's going to come sing a couple of verses for us. And then I'm going to try to bring a message and do a chalk talk today. And then we're going to be eating. Hallelujah. All right. I saw a little bit back there. If you can't find something back there, you can't eat something wrong. I tell you, that's some good-looking stuff back there. But before we do that, we need to take care of something.
last year, we honored the memory of Sister Pootie, and we dedicated the fellowship hall on her behalf. You walk in the door, you'll see on the immediate left, you'll see a plaque for the hall into the fellowship. Honored Brother Pootie a few years ago with the Pootie Memorial Library downstairs. All his books were donated and folks enjoyed. I like to do things at home kind of to say to people thank for what they've done. I'm going to tell you something. The world out there will crush you if you let it. You don't need to have a church. You'll say
amen.
Church is a place of your refuge. Place that you enjoy coming. This is a place y'all might be crushed. This is a place where I thank people and love people. And so I've got a presentation that I want to make this morning, if I can. It says, Faith Baptist Church would like to express its appreciation to Mrs. Irma Taylor for over 30 years of faithful ministry as our church treasure.
Amen.
Give her a hand. Y'all got a picture taken, now it's time to do it. You might have wondered why all these people that you know are here today, they have an ulterior motive. They want to say they love you too and support you. We appreciate all the hard work that Sister Taylor does. When Sister Taylor was going through some hardship, she came to me and said it was kind of tough, obviously, to do the responsibilities that she did. But I told her something, and I still say to this day, I would move heaven and earth for this woman. She has done such an outstanding job of faithful, of taking care of the books of this church. And I've pastored for quite some time, many years, but I don't think I've ever had a better treasure in all my years of pastoring this woman. I just appreciate her so much. What a sweet testimony, what a lovely lady she is. And we just thank God for just, this doesn't even come close to what you deserve, but it's a little something that you really love to appreciate.
Thank you.
Let's give her one more.
Brother Van, I think that's a very commendable thing that you did, and I think so many times we fail to thank people for what they've done and for services rendered, and when they're gone, it's a little too late, just a little too late. But you know what? There's a lot of things going on in our world today, things we don't understand. Some things we do, because the Bible's very clear about what's going on and what it's going to come to. But I'm so thankful that no matter what happens, I have a Heavenly Father that watches over me. And if you're a Christian, you do too.
He watches, he watches, he watches, he watches.
upon the land or on the rolling sea, or come what may, from day to day, my Heavenly Father watches over me. I trust in God. I know He cares for me. On mountains bleak or on the stormy sea, though billows roll, He keeps my soul. My Heavenly Father watches in God. I know He cares for me. On mountains bleak or on the stormy sea, though billows roll, He keeps my soul. My Heavenly Father watches over me. I trust in God. I know He cares for me. On mountains bleak or on the stormy sea, though billows. We have a Heavenly Father. The Bible says His eye is just roaming all over this world, and He's watching everything that we do. The potter knows me better than I know myself. Jesus is my Heavenly Father and my Heavenly Potter, and I'm just a lump of clay, and He's still working on me. That's obvious, day by day. But He knows just exactly what it's going to take to make me submissive to His will. The potter knows the clay. I know you're going through the fire. It's getting hard to stand the heat. Is God's hand still on me? It's lonely in the flames when you're counting days of pain. But the potter knows the clay, how much pressure it can take, how many times around the till there's submission to His will.
And is that going, bro? So he sent us a $100 love offering. I shared that with the church. And I got an email from a young lady. I don't know how to pronounce her name. I should have brought the letter. I printed it off to read it. But we talk about the power of the internet, and there's a lot of bad stuff on the internet. We know that. But I tell you, there's some good stuff too. And this letter came from a woman from the country of Romania. And she sent me a letter and she said, I have found your ministry on the internet. And she said, I have been blessed by it. And she said, I want you to pray. And she put down some prayer requests of some people, and maybe I can bring that Wednesday night and we can make that our kind of our missionary letter that we read on Wednesday night and pray for those people. God knows who they are, and that's the most important thing. But I got to think of, how did a woman from Romania learn about a preacher over here in Virginia? Internet. You cannot. We have an opportunity. What an opportunity to minister to people. And this little radio station that the church is doing over the internet, it's amazing. I mean, I don't know that a lot of people listen to it because it is just internet. It'd be great if we had a full-blown, like, FM station or something like that. But I know Brother Julius has told me that we've had people from where, Brother? Germany? And what other countries? Do you know who's listening to us right now? Okay. But you know, isn't that fantastic? Isn't that awesome that you can reach people for the Lord with something like this? And so, you know, praise the Lord. Let's keep on keeping on.
and serving the Lord, and what a blessing it is to serve the Lord. So thank you for being here on Homecoming. One verse today, Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Heavenly Father, speak to our hearts and help us this morning as we look for just a few minutes into Your Word. May we be blessed, challenged, and encouraged. As the Word of God goes over the airwaves, I pray, God, that it might be a help and a blessing to someone today. And then minister where we are in Ringgold. And may we give glory and honor and praise to the Lord Jesus, who deserves every bit of it in His name. What a statement. There are many great statements in the Bible. For instance, you know, people say, what's your favorite verse in the Bible? That's a tough one, isn't it? That's a tough one. People say, what's your favorite book in the Bible? I can't answer either one of those questions because there's just so many. Every time I think, well, I think I like, but then something happens and I say, well, I believe I also like, you know, and it's tough. But Romans chapter 1, verse 16 is surely one of the most familiar verses that we have in the Bible. Powerful verse. Paul is talking here and makes a great declaration, and I want to deal with that declaration and break it up for a little while this morning. And he says this, for I am not ashamed. Let's break it down. Let me show you a few things, if I can, about this thing called the gospel and what the Bible says about it for us. Paul says, for I. Something that I understand about this thing of living for God, and we had a wonderful revival meeting. I thank the Lord for the good revival meeting that we had. And Brother Alcorn brought some good messages. But you know what was one of the messages that he brought? He brought the message that they first of all gave themselves to the Lord. This thing of the gospel, of living for God, is a personal thing. So the first thing I want you to see about this verse, that it is personal. It's talking to you and me, where we live. Now, I've been around the block a few times, and I've heard people, and they'll say things like, when I stand at the door of a church, and people come up to me, and I know that through the years, Miss Penny's heard things like this, people come up, they'll shake my hand, they'll look at me, and they'll grin, and they'll say, boy, preacher, you sure gave it to them today. I've heard that so many times. I'm thinking, well, what about you? You know, I mean, it's great about them, but what about you? It doesn't do a bit of good if we come into the house of God. It's not going to do us one bit of good if we come into God's house. We do not take the things that are spoken and apply to our lives.
There's a lot of things that you can
talk about, a lot of things that you can do in this life. And you can talk about all the people that have done things. There are all kinds of historical people that
we have read about in history.
We've read about the Amelia Earharts. We've read about the Thomas Edisons. We've talked about the great sports heroes. And we hear all of that, and man, it's just great. And we think, man, these people have some wonderful abilities. But you know, what about people that don't have those kind of abilities and they don't have the worldly fame? You know, I'm so impressed when I look at this young man, Tim Tebow. But I'm going to tell you something about Tim that scares me. The temptation that that young man must face. I mean, I love the fact that he gets down. I don't like the term Tebowing. That's in the Bible a whole lot longer than Tebowing. I mean, God does not teach thou shalt Tebow. But many times in the Bible, people knelt and prayed. And I think to myself, Tim Tebow's an outstanding young man. There's no doubt about it. He's got a great testimony, but I'm kind of scared because I'm afraid that somewhere down the line, the temptation of this world is going to be so great that it could drag him under. But I thank God that there are some young people like him that are serving God. I sure thank God for that and praise the Lord or all of that. But and somebody says, boy, I don't have the athletic ability of a Tim Tebow, and I can't sing like Ms. Penny Andrews, and I can't do this. That's not the point. The point is, what can you do? I know people who take very great pride. Please do not think this is, I guess, rude. I don't think it's rude. I don't think it's crass to say this. But, you know, there's some people that their ministry and churches are cleaning toilets. They're proud of how they clean those toilets. And they should be. That's a very important ministry. You know where we are today? We're to the place in this day and time where people are so caught up with materialism, outside things, what we call $9.95 word aesthetics. For instance, I was going to make this announcement at the end of the service, but I'll go ahead and make the announcement now that you pray for Mrs. Benfield, Pastor Robbie Benfield's wife. She's having surgery this week. On her wisdom teeth. She's going to have 4 wisdom teeth removed. And it's going to be very painful, and it's so severe, they're saying that she may even possibly have to have physical therapy, speech therapy, because of the way this thing could go. But we were scheduled to have the work day next Saturday. You pray, the Pastor Benfield said they're going to have to postpone the work day until the 3rd Saturday, which I think is something like the 20th. So you pray about that. Pray for the family. And we're going to be able to get the vineyard up on the church property. And it's, you know, I think the Lord's working all of that out. And we're looking forward. And these sister churches are going to come help us. And I'm real excited about all of that. And I think that's the way it ought to be, by the way. I think we need to help one another, love one another, and that type of thing. But you know, those are things that have to be done. You have to look at the aesthetics of things. There was a day where people used to go to the old-time, what do we call it, the old-time storefronts. And they'd sit on, have you ever sat on a slatted folding chair? They will pinch you. They are painful. And people would go and sit on the slatted chair. And they would sing from old dilapidated song books. And they would have funeral home fans. And the pianist would hit every other note because the piano was missing keys. And you know, it was something. There was usually no air conditioning. And now, you know what's so sad is that I think that that day is gone. But you don't find people willing to do that anymore. You know what? Because they want to come in. Our young people, God bless them, our young people are in quite a state of affairs today. Here's what I mean by that. Our young people want everything right now that grandma and grandpa took 40 years to get. And do you know what? They can get it. You ever heard of credit cards? Back when grandma and grandpa were around, they didn't have that kind of thing, but they got it now. And now we've got young people who are totally maxed out on credit cards. And do you know the last thing they want to commit to? They're committed to mortgages, credit cards, car payments, all of this. Do you know the last thing they want to be committed to? They don't want to see a tithe and envelope. They don't want to hear messages on stewardship. They don't want to hear about coming to church when the doors are open because they're so maxed out, they don't want any more of it. What we need to understand is what Paul is talking about when he said, for I. This thing of God is personal. You can talk about all day long, this person, that person, that person quit church, that person did this. You know, that's irrelevant. What about you? What about me? What about me? That passage Brother Alcorn preached on, they first of all did what? Gave themselves to the Lord. So that's what we need to do. We need to give ourselves. It is personal. Second thing, notice he said, For I. Then he makes this statement, I am not ashamed. Boy, isn't that something? That's a proclamation. What a proclamation. I am not ashamed. Can I ask you if you're ashamed of anything? You may be ashamed of maybe relatives. There might be relatives that you're ashamed of because of their behavior. And you don't want to be associated with them. You may be ashamed of, I don't know, certain physical things. I won't go into a lot of it. But you know if there's something that would make you ashamed, then, you know, maybe somebody has a lifestyle that does not honor the Lord, and maybe they're involved in some things that they don't need to be involved in. And so, you know, whatever. But you're ashamed. Do you know that there is something that I think that many people are ashamed of that should never be ashamed? We should never be ashamed of Jesus Christ. You say, well, now, preacher, I try not to be ashamed. Well, don't be like the fellow. There was a fellow that was a lumberjack, and he got saved back up in the mountains in a revival meeting, a little church. And so that next Monday, he was supposed to go back, and he was going to go back up to the mountain. And so when he got up there, you know, and he came back, you know, he said, the pastor said to him, well, you know, brother, how'd things go this week on the job? He said, oh, preacher, everything went wonderful. Nobody could tell I was a Christian. Well, he knew he was going to get ridiculed, but he wasn't willing to take a stand. For I'm not ashamed. There are some things that we need to be ashamed of that we're not ashamed of. There's sin, and the Bible is some things that we should not be ashamed of. But there are things that we do. We keep our mouth shut. We keep our mouth silenced. Sometimes it doesn't do a bit of good. Sometimes it, you know, just depends. Had a young man in Bible college one time, and down in Greensboro, and he came in. This boy, big boy, this boy's about 220, 230 pounds. You know, little fella. And so he and his family were in a restaurant. And he was sitting, and it was one of those little restaurants, you know, where everything's kind of closed in. You know what I'm talking about? Sort of like a Waffle House kind of a thing. And he said he was sitting there and had his two children there and had his wife there. And this was not a man. This was a woman that was sitting just across that small room, and she was letting her fly, buddy. She was using profanity left and right and God's name in vain, every other word. He sat there and he said, you know what? He said, I didn't know what to do. He said, because I don't want my children, and I don't let my children listen to that stuff. And he said, I didn't know what to do. He said, because I looked, and that woman, sitting beside that woman, was her husband, and her husband was bigger than me. But he said, the more the Lord impressed on my heart, he said, I couldn't sit there and just allow that to happen. And he said, I got up. He said, I was nice. He said, but I got up and I looked at him. I said, ma'am, I said, I hate to interrupt you, but said, you are using so much profanity. And said, my children can hear you. And said, I'd just appreciate it if you wouldn't use that profanity. And he said, I was expecting that husband to climb over that bench and beat me to a pulp right there in the Waffle House. She looked at me and she said, I am so sorry. Said, I did not realize. She said, I will watch my mouth. For I am not ashamed. Have you heard? I shared this with the church. Some of you that are visiting may not have heard this. You know what? I feel like that we're going through persecution as Christians like probably we haven't seen persecution since the book of Acts. Because we're having people who are saying to Christians, you can't do this and you can't do that. And I heard recently, and I love it, that the University of Tennessee had a, of course, every time they have a ball game, somebody's twanging. I'm getting ready to think we've got some bluegrass music in a minute. But, you know, I listen to some of these, you know, and you know how it is, I appreciate some of the sporting events, they'll have prayer before they have their, you know, start the game. And the University of Tennessee, before they have their big football game, as prayer. And I don't know if it was ACLU or who it was, but somebody contacted the University of Tennessee and told them, said, you can't pray anymore before your games. And the University of Tennessee said, tough. We're going to pray. You know, we don't have to take it. Where did we get the idea we have to take it? Where did we get the idea that we just, oh, I'm sorry, I'm a Christian, I apologize. For I'm not ashamed. And there's too much of that going on where people say, well, I'm a Christian, I just got to keep my mouth shut and I can't do this and I can't do that. And no, Paul said, I'm not ashamed. God, give us the strength to stand for the Lord when we need to. And that happens. It happens at your work, at your business. For instance, you say, well, preacher, I don't know what I can do. All right, when you are sitting with your folks, with your friends at work or school or whatever, do you stop when you're sitting at lunch with them and say, excuse me, and then you just bow your heads and pray? Do you know what that means? It means you're not ashamed. It means you're not ashamed. Now, if you're scared, now if you're going to pray and you do this, that's being ashamed. Or you just don't pray. It's not like you have to get up on the table and say, go and pray now. Just bow your heads. You don't have to make a to-do about it. Just bow your head. Say a little prayer. Thank you, Lord. Appreciate the food. And then you go on with it. That's perfectly fine. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. There's the preaching itself. The preach. What are we preaching? We're not preaching politics, even though it would be very easy to do so. We are not preaching issues. Sometimes we preach so hard on minor things. Can I give you a little illustration? A young man that I taught in Christian school told me something one time that really kind of hammered home what I was talking about. He said, you know, that he said at the Christian school, he said, everybody was so concerned about whether I had a belt on, whether I had my shirt tucked in, and he said, whether my hair was cut. He said, do you know, he said, I used to get with a girl and we'd go in the bathroom and neck, and no one ever caught us. He said, they were more concerned with whether my belt was on, my shirt tail was tucked in. He said, they weren't concerned about the fact of my heart. Because he'd gotten saved since he had been in school. You see what I'm saying? And we get so caught up, maybe with issues, that we forget this thing's a matter of the heart. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. What are we supposed to preach? The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And may I say to you today, that's the only way anybody's going to go to heaven is going to be through the gospel. You're not going any other way. No other way. So the gospel, Jesus died for our sins. We're not talking about organized church. We're not talking about organized religion. We're not talking about any of those things. We're talking about the gospel. We're talking about getting saved. We're talking about how that when you go to someone and you talk to them, how many times in my days of ministry and serving the Lord, and I'm sure all the years that Miss Penny and Brother Floyd went all over, what a blessing. And you said, is that a blessing? But it is a blessing when you look and when you see people sitting in the church house and you're sharing and declaring the gospel, and then they begin to come under conviction of sin and they walk down the aisle and they trust Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. There isn't anything in the world any more wonderful than that. Let's not get sidetracked on, let's not, as someone has well said, let us not get to the place that we major on minors. We want to reach people. That's the gospel. That's the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Used to be a statement people used to make. They said, well, that's a gospel truth if I ever heard it. Well, that doesn't mean anything. Because if Jesus Christ is not in the gospel, then there's nothing to it. So there must be the gospel of Jesus Christ. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power. Now remember what I said just a few moments ago. I've had the wonderful joy through my days of being able to have preached in many times, many churches, many situations. I've had the time, opportunities to sit and to talk to people and share the things of the Lord. And you know what changes people? It's not you and me that does it. You and I have no power whatsoever. We're just people. But you know something, thank God, that it is the power of the gospel. Now, if we could take the time today, if we could just have just anybody that wanted to, if we gave everybody 5 minutes, and we were to ask everybody in here to give a little account of your salvation testimony, when you got saved, when you trusted Christ as your Savior, then it would be a wonderful thing because everybody would have a different story to tell. See, everybody here would never have the same story. What God did in your life is just as unique and different as a thumbprint or a fingerprint or, as some said, a snowflake. So it's a wonderful thing to know that we're saved. But how did you get saved? You got saved because of the power of God. That God spoke to your heart and dealt with you. I know a man, he's with the Lord now, but he was called at one point in time Mr. Bus. He was called Dr. Wally Beebe. He's with the Lord now. But Brother Beebe was saved because he went into a public bathroom and found a gospel tract. And he read it and got saved. I've met people who have been saved by going into a motel, sleeping in a motel, and reading a Gideon Bible, and they became Christian. I know people that have become a Christian because they came to church, and they heard the gospel, and they trusted the Lord as their personal Savior. They walked down the aisle, and they came to know the Lord Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. And that story can be translated so many times. There are people who have come, and those are people who have maybe at their kitchen table, maybe a soul winner came into their house and maybe led them to Jesus Christ. Whatever it was, however you became a Christian. You know how you became a Christian? Because it was the power of God. The power of God unto salvation. That's how you're changed. People say, there's some people, for instance, some of you may remember a fellow named, he was an ex-professional wrestler. His name was Jesse the Body Ventura. And in his latter years, he became the governor of Wisconsin, I believe. And he made a statement. And you know, when he made this statement, it cost him the election. He was going to try to be a real, he was elected one term, and he made this statement, and he said this. He said, "Religion is just a crutch for weak-minded people." I wouldn't have voted for him. Because that's a sad thing. There's another fella. He is a talk show host. He's on HBO, and his name is Bill Maher. And Bill Maher has nothing good to say for Christians. He does not believe in Christianity. Anybody that has anything to do with Christianity, Bill Maher will ridicule them and condemn them and shoot them down. You know, there are a lot of people that criticize, but you know what? How does a person come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior? They come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior because they have made the realization through Holy Spirit conviction that they needed to be saved, and it is the power of God that saves people. And then he says this, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to everyone that believeth." That's a promise. What is it today? If you come to the Lord, if you're here today and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, how do you get saved? If the Spirit of God works in your heart and deals with you and you begin to listen intently and you say, "Man, I think I need to know something more about this thing called the gospel." Then you come and someone takes the Bible and shows you from God's Word and you trust Christ. But before you trust Christ, you might say, "Well, I don't know about this. I'm not sure. Would God save somebody like me? I know what my Bible says. My Bible says, 'For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall.'" That's a definite word. "Shall be saved." Now, there are people, God bless them, I've worked with them in days gone by, that had a whole lot of trouble with that. They had a whole big amount of trouble. because they said, well, I just don't believe that God can do that. I don't believe that this can happen and that can happen. And they doubt it. But why would you doubt the promise of the Bible? Do you know, if you have trouble believing the Bible, then let me encourage you to do something. Go, if you will, sometime. You don't have to do it now, but go sometime to Titus chapter 1 and look at verse number 2. And it says this, God that cannot lie. It's not that God has the ability to lie and chooses not to. That Bible says He cannot lie. It is impossible for Him to lie. So God is a God of power. God is a God who is one who makes a promise. And when He makes that promise, it is always carried out. I hear people say things like, I just don't know what's going to happen to me, man. I just don't know about this and I don't know about that. Well, if you're a Christian, then you are in the hand of God. John chapter 10 says that we are in the hands of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father's hand. My Father, which hath given them to me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hands. Now that's a promise, isn't it? You say, well, I don't know about that, preacher. Well, then you're going to have to call God a liar. And God is not a liar. God, Jesus Christ Himself, said concerning Himself in John chapter 14, what did He say? I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. He is the truth. No one will ever stand before God one day and ever accuse Him of lying. No one will ever accuse Him of being dishonest. It'll never happen. Why? Because He said, I am the truth. I am the truth. If you can't believe what God says, unfortunately, we're living in a day where you can't believe what many people say about anything, can you? You sure can't believe anything in the world of politics. That's definitely true. And in the business world, it's just about pretty bad, because you used to be able to shake hands with people and their word was their bond. That's all gone now, unfortunately. But all these things are so. They just kind of happen. And so God is a God who is true. And we have a hard time. We think somebody's going to go back on their word. And God's going to go back on His word. And God's going to renege on His word. God will never renege on His word. He says, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. What a promise. So what are we saying? For I, it's personal. I am not ashamed. That's a proclamation. The gospel, that's what we preach. It is the power of God to save. Everyone that believeth, that's the promise. And then lastly, you'll notice it says to the Jew first and also to the Greek. What's the purpose of this thing? What's the purpose of us being here today? What's the purpose of church? Purpose of church, some people honestly believe that church is just a place you go and tell some stories. I've heard stories of people who say they'll go into a Sunday school class and out of 45 minutes, 40 minutes they talk about fish stories. Oh, we caught one about that big, and we caught that big, and that's all they do. And then, oh, well, I guess we better go ahead and try to teach a little lesson today. You ever been there? Some of you been around long enough, you've been in that kind of situation. What's the purpose of being at church? The purpose of church is to preach the gospel to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Somebody said, well, you know what? The Jew, what does it mean? Is it just for two? Is salvation only for two people? Is it just Jews and Greeks, according to this verse? No. Paul had a burden for Israel. We remember where the Bible talks about in the book of Romans further on. He says that he talks about how we should pray for the peace of Jerusalem. He talks about how that he wishes himself accursed because he wants to see his brethren, the Jews, saved. He had a passion for people. He had a burden to see people come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior. That's what it's all about, the purpose of this whole thing. What's the purpose of us being here today? Why are we here? Yes, thank God for homecoming. and thank God for we could have a good revival meeting, and thank God, you know, and praise the Lord, we wanted to take that time and honor our dear sister Irma, and we just enjoy the beautiful music of Miss Penny, and all of that's great, and we love all that. But you know the whole purpose of it, the purpose of it is to take that Bible and to get out the gospel. There's no other reason for us to be here. 47 years ago. Why did Brother Poovey want to put a church here on the hill? Get out the gospel. No other reason. Why did Miss Penny and her dear husband travel up and down the roads all over this United States of America? Why did they do that? They wanted to get out the gospel. That's your purpose. Remember the bus. They'd take that bus out. Oh, listen to the quartet as they sang. And I know Brother Floyd told me some stories. We'd all go out there. He'd tell me some stories about sometimes they'd go out and they'd never make enough money to even cover their expenses. I remember a story he told me of one of the most famous preachers in America and said they barely got anything to even get home on. And if I had called his name, everybody here would know him. But she's here today. Thank God that her nephew's so kind to bring her today. But why you do all that? For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Got a little girl right here. She letting this boy have it. Big dude. But notice his expression on her face, and notice expression on his face. Notice how he is slumping his shoulders down. He is taking everything that little girl's given. Notice her little Bible she's got in her hands. You say, well, he ought to pretty much chew her up, spit her out. No, she's not ashamed. And that young man has enough respect, not for that little girl probably, but got some respect for that book right there. And he's willing to take it. You know, there's some people out there willing to take it if you'll give it. Oh, I don't mean in an ugly way. I'm just saying, but if you're bold enough by the grace of God to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with somebody, somebody's going to listen. Interesting statement in the book of Proverbs. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, the righteous are as bold as a lion. Why would you need boldness? You need boldness because you to take and share the sweet story of Jesus for the lost and dying world. And this world, if they get the chance, they'll eat you up. But if you've spent some time in that book, if you've spent some time on your knees in prayer, if you've sought the Lord and you said, Lord, I just want to share the Word of God with somebody. Lord, I'd like to see somebody get saved. Preacher Alcorn made this statement. It's so true. If you have never had the privilege to lead someone to Jesus Christ, or at least have a hand in it, you have missed out. There isn't anything any more wonderful, nothing in this world any more wonderful than helping somebody come to know Jesus Christ as Savior. Can't be ashamed. This little girl, by all facts, ought to be ashamed. She ought to be cowering down. I've seen it happen. I've seen big old strapping men, just like this cartoon that I'm doing right here. I've seen big old strapping fellas like that. I've seen them break, man. I've seen them break. Several years ago, I had the opportunity to go down to a small I guess, jail facility in Reidsville. And probably Brother and Sister Cox, if I could think of the name, would know exactly where it is since they live in the Pelham area. Maybe Miss Jackie. But I remember I took my chalk stuff down there one day, did a drawing. Still remember the drawing that I did. I did a drawing based on Ephesians 6, chapter 6, verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Boy, I'll tell you, we didn't have but about 12 there, and there's only 13 or 14 in the whole facility. They came as night service, and after I got done preaching, those guys, they walked on out, went to bed, and the preacher, the pastor, he was a deputy sheriff. Pastor to church and was also deputy sheriff. And so he took me out, and you know, they say it's the truth. If you ever hear those doors clank, it's scary. And he's like, I hope I get out. And so he opened the doors and he let me out. And he called me the next day. He had come in for his shift. And he called me the next day and he said, let me tell you something that happened. I said, okay, tell me. He said, I got here this morning, and he said, I had about the first thing they said to me, this is, what happened here last night? And he said, we just had church. He said, well, something else must have happened. And he said, well, I thought there was a riot or something going on. He said, I didn't know what was going on. He said, I got here this morning. He said, about all these men been up all night crying. I said, crying? He said, yeah, I went and checked on them. I got talking to them one by one. And he said, do you know, and I forgot the number, the vast majority of those men were so under conviction they couldn't sleep that night. And many of them got saved the next morning. That pastor led them to Christ. Those are guys in jail. Those are guys that if they wanted to, they could hurt you. But they are no match for the gospel. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Let's pray. Can I ask you this morning to look 6 inches below your left collarbone and make sure, number one, make sure you're a Christian. Make sure that you are a born-again believer. Number two, if you are a born-again believer, make sure that you are serving the Lord. Do you spend some time in the Bible? Do you read the Bible? Do you spend some time in private prayer? Those are the things. Miss Penny well put it. She said that, what? She made the statement that God's still working on us. We're a work in progress. We are. We're not perfect. We're never going to be perfect. But we should be in the process of saying, Lord, help me every day to be a stronger believer, that I may have a better walk with you today than I had with you yesterday. Is there timidity in your heart and in your life? You say, well, I'd love to witness to people, but I don't know how to do it, and I don't know Bible verses. But don't forget Paul. Paul said this, remember? Every time Paul met somebody, he told them what happened to him on the Damascus Road. He just shared his testimony. Somebody said, well, somebody laugh at me if I share my testimony. They can't laugh at you because you're the only one that has your testimony. Whatever happened to you, it hadn't happened to nobody else. Well, what if they call me a liar? Well, what if they do? It's your testimony, isn't it? And you can only tell people what's happened to you, and praise God you can. Maybe you need to say, I need the Lord to take me, to control me, to fill me. I want to be like the book of Proverbs says, I want to be as bold as a lion. Well, then maybe what we need to do is need to come to the Lord and say, now, Lord, I'm going to sell myself out to you. I'm going to give myself to you. Lock, stock, and barrel, every bit of me, from the top of my head to the sole of my feet. I'm going to dedicate, commit my life to you. You know what? He'll take you. He'll take you. Someone made the statement one time that God is a hard-up God. You know what that means? That means God will take anybody. He will. He'll take you. I love the old saying that says this, that God can take a crooked stick and draw a straight line with it. And I'm about as crooked as they come in that regard, but I'm glad God can still take each one of us and use us for His glory and honor. So can I ask you today, number one, are you saved? If you're not saved, would you let us take the Bible and show you how to be saved? Number two, are you walking a committed life with the Lord? As Pastor Alcorn said in revival this week, what did he say? He said they gave themselves first of all to the Lord. And then number three, is everything right as far as your walk with God? And pray and ask the Lord to fill you with the Holy Spirit and to give you boldness like a lion to share the gospel and to do that and bring glory and honor to the name of Jesus. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and then we'll have our invitation. Father, thank you for loving us. And I pray that you'll bless our time of invitation. I pray that you'll take the word of God. I pray that you'll minister to us, speak to our hearts, bring honor and glory to the name of Jesus. And I pray, God, that you'll work in our hearts this day. We ask it in the precious name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Brother Buddy? If you have a need today and you'd like to come and pray, come ahead. The altar's open. I'm standing at the front. If anybody would like for me to pray with you, I'd love to do that as we sing.